Echo and Harper Audio present, The State Must Provide, Why America's Colleges Have Always Been Unequal and How to Set Them Right, by Adam Harris, read by Carrie Height. A note before we begin. Don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/audio/the-state-must-provide. The enhancement contains the book's endnotes. The state must provide such education for her in conformity with the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and provide it as soon as it does for applicants of any other group. Sipuel v. Board of Regents of the University of Oklahoma, 1948. Introduction. The subtle crunch of snow under your feet is rare in Alabama. But plush white powder blanketed the ground when I arrived on the campus of Alabama A&M University in Normal, Alabama, for my first semester in January 2010. The packed flakes clung to the buildings like fitted sheets. It made the hill, as students called the campus, indescribably beautiful. The university is tucked away in the rolling Tennessee Valley of North Alabama. It was the third college founded in the state to educate black students after the Civil War, and the first with agricultural education in mind. But to me, A&M was simply a place that felt like home. I was probably always going to end up attending college at A&M. Some of my earliest memories are of the drum majors, high-stepping in maroon capes, sporting felt hats, leading the band with intricately designed maces as if they were going to battle. My mom had gone to A&M in the 80s. My uncle had as well. In fact, he was a drum major himself. Still, it took me 6 months after high school to realize it was the place for me. My parents would probably say it was my hard head that landed me instead at Lon Morris Junior College in Jacksonville, a quiet East Texas town with a Walmart, a Taco Bell, and not much else. The real reason was basketball. I had been recruited by a handful of Division I programs, Stanford, Cornell, Murray State, Brown, and others, but I suffered an injury my senior year of high school. Lon Morris was my way to show big-time scouts that I still had it. Those coaches never called again. But early in my freshman year, the ones from Alabama A&M did. I jumped at the opportunity. It helped that my sister was already there as a sophomore on the volleyball team. A&M was no longer a home by proxy where my family was educated. It was my home. The snow had made the campus's aging infrastructure seem like character, but as the first days of the semester wore on, it melted. I needed a break. I had a habit in high school of getting in the car and driving when I needed a stress reliever. Old habits die hard. Lucky for me, there was a whole city I had yet to explore. Downtown Huntsville was not much to look at, and every time I went to the mall, I ended up buying something I did not need, so roughly 2 weeks after arriving, after classes had begun and homework started to pile up, exploring meant visiting the town's other colleges. There was Oakwood University, another historically black college built in 1896. There were the community colleges, Drake State and Calhoun. And then there was the University of Alabama in Huntsville, UAH. Founded as a satellite campus of the University of Alabama in 1950, which had grown into an entity all its own. UAH was a straight shot from A&M, and since it was public, I would not have to get by security. As a bonus, its library was open 3 hours longer than A&M's, so at the very least, I could attempt to be productive. Sometime near 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I loaded up my backpack, locked my door, and headed toward the elevator of Foster Hall, a five-story red Tetris brick of a building that, having been built in 1993, was the newest men's dormitory at A&M. The elevator was broken.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?